Today, Stephen takes you to 1 Timothy 4, where Paul emphasizes the importance of spiritual discipline and godliness. In a world full of counterfeit gospels and deceptive teachings, Paul warns that some will depart from the faith. They'll follow false teachings. But he also offers a solution. Train yourself in godliness. Just as physical exercise is valuable, spiritual training is essential for living a godly life.
There is one true gospel of Jesus Christ, but there are many counterfeit gospels out there in the world today, and frankly, that's because the devil doesn't just want to destroy the Bible, he's just as happy to distort the Bible in order to deceive people. It's been estimated that there are as many as 5,000 cults in the world today that claim some kind of connection to the Bible, to Christianity. In fact, there's always been a steady stream of people entering the church and a steady stream leaving the church to join this or that group that promotes a rather distorted idea about Jesus or God or the gospel. That's tragic, but it really shouldn't be a surprise to us at all. In fact, today as we sail on our wisdom journey into 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul records this here in verse 1. The Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith. Now this departure or apostasy will come, Paul writes here, in later times. Now when are these later times going to arrive? Well, now we've already seen back in 2 Thessalonians that there will be a great falling away before the tribulation period begins. But this expression here seems to refer to recurring periods of apostasy during the church age. Timothy may have seen this in his generation, and I believe we're seeing it today. Paul describes this apostasy here in verses 1 and 2, and he says this. He says, people will devote themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. Now, that's another way of saying the origin of false teaching is demonic. It is indeed from the devil. It's propagated by unsaved deceivers. They're called here liars who present themselves as teachers of the truth. Now, it's interesting to me that Paul focuses here in verse 3 on false teaching that forbids marriage and requires abstinence from foods. Now, this is a form of what theologians call asceticism. Asceticism teaches that God accepts you based on you denying yourself certain personal desires. Well, this false teaching shows up in a number of world religions that require fasting at times or that teach that marriage is not as holy as singleness. Well, Paul refutes all that here in verse 4 by affirming very clearly that everything created by God is good and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. And let me tell you, beloved, God created both marriage and food. Your relationship with God is not hindered if you eat meat or if you get married or if you don't fast. Now, some people choose not to marry and other people don't want to eat a cheeseburger, and there's nothing wrong with those choices. And unless they've come to the conclusion that denying themselves those things makes them morally or spiritually superior, or worse yet, that it makes them more acceptable to God. Nothing could be further from the truth. Now, starting here in verse 6, Paul gives us three ways to avoid false teaching. And this isn't just for Pastor Timothy, but for all church leaders, in fact, for all believers. First, teach people the truth. Paul tells Timothy here in verse 6, to put these things before the brothers. In other words, keep teaching the body the truth. Keep turning on the light of truth. And when you do that, the darkness of deception will scatter. Now, second, stay focused on the truth. Paul writes here in verse 7, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. In other words, if somebody is teaching self-centered, trivial stuff, it might sound interesting. It might even sell a lot of books. But frankly, it belongs in the trash can, not on your bookshelf. It's just silly stuff, trivial stuff. Third, keep exercising your mind with the truth. Paul tells Timothy here in verse 7, train yourself for godliness. The word train here comes from the Greek word gymnazo, from which we get the English word gymnasium. So here's the picture. You go into the gymnasium of God's word, and you get a spiritual workout program going. You're training, Paul tells us, for godliness. Now, you don't get into the word and work up a sweat so you can get into the family of God, but so that you can grow up strong in the family of God. Godliness is not an accident. It's going to take effort. A godly person didn't become that way accidentally, but intentionally. In fact, Paul says here in verse 8, while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. I know some people who are determined to watch their diet and exercise regularly, and frankly, they convict me. That's a good thing. They remind me that I ought to say yes to more vegetables and no to chocolate-covered donuts. Well, I'm at that age where I have to think about everything I eat. Maybe you are as well. Well, here's what Paul would suggest. We need to think more often about our spiritual diet. Reading the Bible, praying, memorizing Scripture. Let's develop an exercise program in the Word in spiritual disciplines just as diligently as we go to a gym somewhere to work out physically. Now, the pursuit of godliness is what Paul says in verse 10 here. He says, we toil and strive for this. Now, he gives us an incentive for this kind of workout program, this kind of diligence. He writes, for we have our hope set on the living God. Well, a runner who's been working out, his hope is set on winning that race, and he's going to work hard to reach that goal. Well, the same holds for the Christian. We're focused on running the race of faith well, and then seeing our Lord. We're not working at godliness so we can go to heaven, but because we are going to heaven, and that hope-filled anticipation is our built-in incentive for serving and for pleasing our Lord. Now with that, Paul describes the living God here in verse 10 as the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. Now, he's not saying here that everybody's saved. He's reminding Christians that living a godly life isn't just for our benefit, but also for those who need to be saved. Our godly lifestyle then becomes a testimony to God's saving power as we live it out in front of those people around us who need the Savior. Now, Paul continues with some additional challenges to Pastor Timothy. He writes here in verse 11, command and teach these things. And let me tell you now, this isn't just for Pastor Timothy, but for every pastor. Pastors must focus the minds of their congregations on this sound doctrine, this spiritual discipline, the pursuit of holy living. Now, Timothy might get a little intimidated to speak so forcefully to older people. You remember, he's younger, and Paul writes here in verse 12, let no one despise you, that is, look down on you, for your youth. But set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. There's more instruction here in verse 13. Timothy, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, exhortation, and teaching. So for every pastor, every church leader, you can't miss this. The public ministry of a pastor should be saturated with Scripture. This isn't optional. This is essential. Paul also adds this here in verse 14, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Well, this tells us that the Lord endowed Timothy with some special ministry gift at the time elders ordained him into the ministry. Paul doesn't give us the details of what that was, but what we do know is this principle remains for us to this day. We're to use the gifts that God has given us today as we serve Him for His glory. Now, chapter 4 concludes with some final exhortations from Paul to be vigilant and persistent. Paul offers some great advice for us all here in verses 15 and 16. Practice these things. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Paul simply means that as we demonstrate our genuine salvation before others, we become an instrument through whom others will be saved. They'll want to know the Lord, the Savior that we have found ourselves. Have you ever thought about the fact that according to the Apostle Paul, when you got saved, you got a membership card in the gymnasium of godliness? Let me encourage you to use your membership today. Go to this gymnasium and work out today in the Word. Build up your spiritual muscles in the truth as you study the Word of God and pray. Let me tell you, this is not the day to be in bad shape spiritually. If there's ever a day when we need to work out, when we need to build up muscles of holy living, when we need to understand the Word of God so that others will see in us a genuine, life-changing reality of the gospel, well, today is the day. Ultimately, as those around us watch our lives, perhaps God will move some of them to join us in bringing glory to God. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, the president of Wisdom International. Stephen called this lesson Membership in the Gymnasium of Godliness. You were encouraged to exercise your faith by training in godliness. Just as an athlete dedicates time and effort to physical training, you too must be diligent in your spiritual disciplines. Here at Wisdom International, we're convinced that your journey through life can be a journey of wisdom when you align your thoughts and actions with the Word of God. That's why we bring you these lessons each day. We want you to know what the Bible says, understand what it means, and apply it to your life. To access more of the resources we have available for you, visit wisdomonline.org. Again, that's wisdomonline.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next time on the Wisdom Journey.